And we'll read verse 4. So that's the fourth gospel, fourth chapter, fourth verse. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now I want you just to read a few more verses with me. Verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And then verse 39, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. I don't know how much you read the Bible, but if you do, keep reading these Gospels, four Gospels, because it's good to read the whole of the Bible, but in particular, if you want to know about the Lord Jesus, and if you want to discover how he operated, and how he spoke to people, and how he understood the way people think, and what goes on in their head, then read about the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, because it tells us an awful lot about that. And here we're meeting a lady today, and let me tell you a little bit of background that I think we can discover from this chapter. She's from the city called Sychar, and she's coming out of the city, and do you know what time she's coming? She's coming at lunchtime, 12 o'clock midday. And if you were reading with me, and if you think about what we're reading, you maybe say, disagree with me, and you say, but it said it was the sixth hour. But in the way of their calculating time, their day started at 6 in the morning. Oh, by the way, mine started at 5:30 today because some boys decided they were for running up and down the stairs and banging the doors. But yeah. I was a bit earlier, but their day started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And by the time you got to lunchtime, the sixth hour, that was what they called the sixth hour. We would call it 12 o'clock. And actually, if you live in a hot country, don't worry, boys, don't have a guilt complex. Just don't do it tomorrow morning. if you lived in a hot country, by the time it got to 12 o'clock lunchtime, the sun was at its hottest. And normally, you wouldn't be seen dead outside the house at that time of the day. You would stay indoors. You maybe even have the curtains drawn. You'd have as cool a place as possible because the sun would be incredibly hot by 12 o'clock midday. Here's a woman. She comes out of the town to do what they do in Ukraine, to go and draw the water at a well. But she's going at the hottest time of the day. That might tell us something. You wouldn't do that normally. Of course, nobody else would be about. Nobody else would be going out for the water at that time, because that wasn't normal, and it wasn't practical, and it wasn't sensible to be lugging big containers of water through the heat back to your house. And as we read this story, we find that it might be the fact that she was an embarrassed person. I didn't read the whole of it because I realised it would take a long time to read it. But the Lord Jesus, as he chats to her, he begins to talk to her and talk to her about the fact he can give her something that can satisfy her more than the water out of a well. And she's confused at first. At first she's saying, but I don't get this. You don't even have anything to draw the water out of the well. And you're saying that what you could give me will satisfy me. But the Lord Jesus wasn't talking about a drink of water like this. He was talking about a thirst that is deeper than just physical. A thirst in your heart. Maybe some of you are like that. Maybe you think, how can I be really happy? And how can I be really content? And how can I really know what life is about? I feel like it's a bit empty and I've got to keep doing this. And I need new things and I need to try things. And you feel, I'm not content and happy. So I keep trying. That's what our world is like. That's what people are like. They won't be content until they've got the problem of their sin forgiven, their conscience clear, their guilt taken away, till they have the peace of God in their heart, till they know God in their life. Now, most people think that's not the answer, but it is. Most people think, if only I had money, if I won the lottery, if I could go wherever I like, if I could have whatever I wanted, I would be happy. But that's not the truth. You can't have peace until you have peace with God. You can't have joy until you rejoice in what God has done in your life, because all the other problems, all the other things are part of the problem. Sin and selfishness and greed and self-centered act, they're all part of the problem of sin and wrong. But when you have your sins forgiven, God gives you a satisfying peace with him. It doesn't mean you'll have loads of money, doesn't mean you'll never have problems, doesn't mean you'll always have an easy life, but you will have the real thing God created you for, which is to know God. This woman didn't understand what the Lord Jesus was talking about, so she says to him, you know, well, give me this water so that I don't need to come to this well. I'm exhausted coming out to this well every day and drawing water. It's boring, it's repetitive, I have to keep on doing it. But the Lord Jesus, he knew she didn't really understand yet. So he says to her at that point, go and get your husband and come back out and see me. And she says to him at this point, she said, I don't have a husband. And the Lord Jesus then says something to her that absolutely blows her mind. The Lord Jesus, when she, you remember, the Lord Jesus said to her, go and get your husband. He's testing her, of course. He knows all about her life. Because God knows all about your life. The Lord Jesus even knows what's going through your head. I don't. You could be sitting going, that guy's boring. You'd be going, what's going on next after this meeting? I don't know what's going through your head. God does. The Lord Jesus does. And he knew exactly what was going through her mind. And he said to her that day, go and get your husband. Of course she said, I don't have a husband. He said to her, yeah, you're dead, right? You've had five, and the man you're living with isn't your husband. She'd either had five husbands and she'd been downright unlucky and they'd all died, or she'd been married, divorced. I kind of think it was the latter. She'd had five husbands and she'd given up getting married. She now was living with the... And I think she'd had so many men inside because she was embarrassed to come out. If you listened when I was reading the passage, when she goes back into the city, it says she goes back and tells the men in her life, because her life was a mess. Maybe some of you come from homes where there's a bit of a mess. I don't know. Where I live in Liverpool. I'm a missionary in Liverpool, if you want to put it in that language. I wasn't born in Liverpool. My dad's a Liverpudlian, and I can't disclaim that. I like Liverpool very much. I'm very fond of it, despite the fact the football team's not good these days. But Liverpool is a place where there's people in homes where there could be five kids and nobody knows whose dad is whose dad. Or where mum is living with somebody now and there was a different person last year. And home's a bit of a mess. That's the type of life this woman lived. I want to tell you today, the Lord Jesus can come into lives like that and homes like that, and he can give you peace. He can change the way you think, and he can forgive your sins, and he can make you different. You don't need to live the way other people in your house have lived. When you get to the stage of having a partner and getting married, and you don't need to live the same way. You can live a life that's clean before God. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have your life straightened out, because the Lord Jesus does that. Changes homes. I can take you to people whose lives have been completely changed, who are alcoholics and drug addicts, and God has saved them. And God straightened out their life, and he's changed their home life. And it's unbelievable. It makes me cry when I think about it. Amazing what God can do in a person's life. So this woman, she goes back, she's talking to the Lord Jesus, and he's beginning to open her eyes to see what she's really like. See, I told you, forget to turn the pictures on. and she's listening to him, and she's wondering, really. And as she listens to the Lord Jesus, she realizes that he knows all about her. See, this week, if you hear God speaking in your heart, don't just kind of switch off and say, well, that's just the kind of, it's not really God that's speaking, it's just me getting a bit worried or it's me getting a bit anxious. Listen, if God speaks in your heart, don't switch it off. Don't turn away from what God is saying. This woman stood and listened, and she heard things that she didn't want to really hear, I'm sure. She didn't really want her life. You know, if she had the option, she wouldn't have wanted you to have written everything about her life on the wall so everybody could read. That's what the Lord Jesus was really doing. He was opening up her life. Maybe this week God will show you what you're really like. You know, most of us think we're good. Most of us think we're all right. But maybe God this week will do to you what he does to me quite often, even now. And I'm saved and my sins are forgiven. But there's times when God says to me, Stephen, you're just a bit of a hypocrite. You've got things in your head you shouldn't have in your head. And he shows me what I'm like, and I have to get on my knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not what I should be. If you're not a Christian, God, and if you are a Christian, he might still do it to you. But if you're not a Christian, you need to understand God loves you no matter what you're like. The Lord Jesus loved this woman even though her life was a mess. And listen to the words that she says. She goes back into the town. And as she's going back in, Jesus' disciples are coming back out. And in fact, they're kind of puzzled. They're saying to themselves, what's he talking to? You know, men didn't talk to women in those societies. And Jews didn't talk to people from that area of the country. They were like Palestinians and Jews today. It was no go. He didn't talk. And they're kind of scratching their heads saying, what's he doing? But listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, the words of the woman when she goes back into the town. She goes to those men and she says to them, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, can I ask you a question? If you really had an embarrassing lifestyle, if your life was a mess, if you'd done things you didn't want people to know, if you had things that you really wouldn't want, would you go back and say, I just met somebody who's told me everything that's going on in my life? You wouldn't. You'd say, well, that's embarrassing. Why would she do that? Because the Lord Jesus doesn't just tell you what's in your life, but if you're prepared to let him, he can forgive you for the wrong that you've done, and he can wash you clean. And I don't think she went back to those men and said that. I don't think she would have done it if she hadn't realized that he could forgive her sins. As well as the Lord, God's not out to show you out to be an idiot. He's not out to show you the faults in your life. He doesn't get any great delight in going, you're bad, though we all are. But the only reason he identifies our wrong and our sin is so that we can understand the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us and clean us from every sin. My question to you is, would you let him? Would you prepare to let the Lord Jesus forgive your sins? Would you confess that he's the Son of God, and accept he died for your sins, and he rose from the dead, and that he's the only one who can wash your sins away. See, these people, they heard what she said, and I've read the last part of the chapter for this reason. Because when they heard how she described her encounter, her meeting with the Lord Jesus, it says in verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Because of what the woman told them. They actually believe what she said. Maybe if you are a Christian or you become one this week, I mean you go home, maybe some of your friends will become Christians. Because you tell them what the Lord Jesus has done in your life. See, actually, the best people to tell people in Aberdeen or Peterhead or wherever you live about the Lord Jesus is not me. It's you. I'm only in Liverpool so that hopefully I can see some people getting saved. But once they're saved, my job's done. The best people to tell people about Jesus Christ in Liverpool are Scousers, Liverpudlians, They talk the same language, they think the same way. She went back and told them about how she had come to know who Jesus Christ was, that he's the Son of God, that he can cleanse away sin. And they believed her. But there's something even better it says in these verses. That they went out and they begged Jesus to stay in their town, and he went there for 2 days. And it says, many more believed because of his word. In other words, what's better than hearing me tell you about the Lord Jesus? It's better to hear him for yourself. It's better for you to get it on your own. And the Lord Jesus spoke directly to these people. And when they heard him, they believed. And some of them said to her, you know, it was a great thing to hear what you said. But they said, it's even better because we heard him ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. As you sit here this morning, you can hear God speak to you in your heart. You know, hear a voice. Be in your heart and your conscience. You can, if you're prepared to listen, hear God speak, and he speaks through this book. The Bible says faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of God. And if you do hear what he says and understand that you're wrong and he's right, your sin would need to be punished, but Jesus took the punishment, died, Christ died for our sins. If you realize that he's the Savior of the world, and that means you, because you're in the world. He died for your sins, he wants to forgive you. That would be a fantastic thing if you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.